Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the worship service this morning on the 31st of May, 2026. And special welcome to Dr. David Mayer, who's been with us before. And we welcome you, David, in the name of the Lord, and we pray the Lord will bless you as you minister to the Lord today. There is tea following the service today, so do stay behind if you can for tea and fellowship in the back hall. Every day is a learning day, isn't it? Now, I learned something for Isabel this morning from the British Museum. She was asking me a question. She was keeping me on my toes. Where was Jonah headed? Where was Jonah headed? Well, he was headed to, as he said it, to Spain. Well, yes, it's Tarshish. Now, I didn't realize it Tarshish until Isabel told me is actually Benidorm. So was Jonah gone on holiday? But James Reid was asking, was it all-inclusive? So there you go. Every day is a learning day. But of course, really, you know, we need to follow the Lord, don't we, and his instructions. Not my will be to go and bend the dorm on holiday. I don't know, but we'll see. My wife's not here today, so it's okay. I assume that not around tomorrow at 2 p.m., is it? Yeah. The Pilates presumably is the usual times, but Tuesday night, 6 p.m., Wednesday and Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. The members' meeting's on Tuesday night in the lounge. That's on 7:30 p.m. The Wednesday night Bible reading and prayer meeting is at 7:30 p.m. in the lounge, and it's on Zoom as well. We're doing the daily readings in the Book of Romans. If you've not already picked one up, there is some booklets next to the collection plate if you want to help yourself to a book and go through 50 daily readings on a daily basis, ideally. We're on day 31 of 50 today. The church family picnic, God willing, is in Strachan next Saturday, Ritchie Park, Saturday the 6th of June. The pies will be served from 1 p.m. There is a tick sheet in the vestibule. If you could put your name and any numbers and boy preferences if you want, but there's a good mixture of boys, so you should be okay. Do continue to remember those who are ill and in hospital and laid aside. And I was a little birdie told me today that it's Suzanne Smith's birthday today. Is that right, Suzanne? So you're 21. Happy birthday, Suzanne. Funnily enough, I think the last time you were here, or the last but one time you were here, it was David's second birthday, his Christian born-again birthday. I can't remember how old you were then. 50. I've got a couple of years to go, God willing, for my 50th second birthday, David, but there you go. Praise the Lord. I think that's all the announcements. Next week, the speaker, God willing, is Matt Muller. I'll just hand over to you now, David. Thank you.
Well, good to be with you all again here at the end of May. I had forgotten last time I was 50 Christian years when I was here. So that's a good reminder. I do remember coming up last time, and as I came to Fraserburgh, the heavens opened and the rain came on, but that hasn't happened this time, so that is good. It's good to be with you here again today. So let's start by singing the first hymn, which will magically appear up on the screen. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. And I have been promised that the mic will be turned off at the appropriate time so I do not empty the church. Rising to sing the first hymn.
Thank you.
Now, as I was driving up this morning, I received a word, and that word was the verse, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I don't know if that's for me, maybe it is, or for someone here, but it is good to remember that our Savior and our Shepherd is always with us. He cares for us in each and every circumstance, and whatever we are going through and whatever we are passing through, we can cast our care upon him and we can lay our burdens and our cares at his feet. He knows, he loves us, he understands, and we can cast our cares upon him. So that is wonderful to know. Let us open in prayer. We thank thee, our Father, this morning for this hymn which we have been singing, and we thank thee for the fact that we can praise our blessed Redeemer. We thank thee that he is the Creator God, and we thank thee and praise thee for this wonderful creation in which we dwell, perfectly fashioned for our existence. We thank thee that we can praise him for our salvation, and we thank thee that 2,000 years ago thy Son came to the sin-sick earth and took our place on the cross under thy wrath and endured the punishment that we might never know what it is to be placed in eternal hell, but that we might have eternal life and that we might have a place in thy presence because our sins have been washed away in his blood. And we thank thee for the salvation he gives us. We thank thee for the salvation he offers us. And we thank thee for this opportunity today that any can come to the Savior and any can receive the salvation which he freely gives today. We thank thee that we have sung that he is our Savior, he is our Shepherd, he is the one who carries us all day long. And we thank that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. We thank thee that we can cast all our cares upon him. Whatever is troubling us, whatever is causing us difficulty, whatever the problems of our life may be, we can cast them upon them and know that he is with us and know that he is supporting us and know that he knows the way through. We thank thee for his leadership. We thank thee for his guidance. We thank thee for his presence, and we thank thee for all that has been done for us. We pray that thou wouldst be with us this hour, and that thou wouldst bless us in thy presence as we return thee thanks again for our Savior and for our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee in his worthy and precious name. Amen. Now our next hymn is, There Is a Fountain. And I also see that if there are any children, they may or may not go upstairs to creche following the second hymn. This does not need to be announced, so I will not announce that. So, hymn number 2, There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Rising to sing this hymn together. Thank you. Our reading today is in John chapter 10, and we will read the first 15 verses. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And we pray that God will add a blessing to his word read this morning. And our third hymn coming up on the screen is Living Hope.
Spoken, I am.
'Tis good to know we have a hope, and we have only one hope, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, Norman announced that there would be tea and coffee at the end of the service, and I thought he was going to add into that, so David be brief. But he didn't do that, but I will keep my eye on the clock. So, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. And in John chapter 10, we read two important statements. I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am something a number of times in John's gospel, but here are two of them. I am the door, and we will look at that, and then we'll mention I am the good shepherd towards the end as well. So as we come to John chapter 10, we realize that there is a door for us to enter into, and that door is a person. And if we're going to be in heaven, and if we're going to have eternal life, we must enter in through the door of salvation, who is a person. And we must know the gatekeeper. When we come to the pearly gates at the entrance to heaven, we will only get in if we know the gatekeeper. If we come to those gates and we are not known by the gatekeeper, we won't get in. But if we arrive hand in hand with the gatekeeper, we will have admission. People will tell us there's many ways to God. Jesus in chapter 14 said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then he adds, no one comes to the Father except by me. So he is the only way and he is the only door. All other ways lead to destruction. And the leaders of other ways lead to destruction. And all other routes lead to disaster. There are those who will tell you you can come through prayer and it's good to pray, but you must come through the door of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who would say if you come to church, you get in. And that's a good thing to do, of course. But you must come through the door, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people will say we have to come through the Pope or through priests or through creeds or through other paths and religions and beliefs. Some will tell us you have a leap into the unknown. Some will tell us you come through good works. God tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way, and he is the door by which we can enter into salvation. Now, in John chapter 10, in the first 10 verses, there are actually two doors. The first door in verses 1 to 6 is the door of prophecy. And then in verses 7 to 10, we have the door of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He that entereth in, that is, to become Savior, or to present himself as Messiah, or to come before Israel as their leader, he that entereth not by the door, not by the door of prophecy, not by the way that God has predicted, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. The Pharisees set themselves up as the true way, but they were thieves and robbers. And when the true way came, when the Lord Jesus came, the Pharisees tried to hide him and his message. They tried to block the true way. And they persecuted the disciples and those who would follow him. You'll remember the greatest Pharisee of all, Saul of Tarsus, at the beginning of the book of Acts, tried to persecute and imprison and murder the followers of the true way, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, until he met the Lord himself on the Damascus Road in blinding light. And the Pharisees were at best deluded, not knowing who this was in their midst. Or at worst, they were self-appointed, determined to reject God's Messiah, and were doing Satan's work. But these thieves and these robbers set themselves up as leaders of Israel, and they led to disaster. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The Lord Jesus came in perfect fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah. He exactly fulfilled them all. And so we know that he is the Messiah. We read at Christmas, don't we, in Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. And so the true Messiah was to come from Bethlehem. And we celebrate at Christmas the one who came from Bethlehem. No other leader, no other Messiah fulfilled that prophecy but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we celebrate his birth in Bethlehem every year at Christmas. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. We read that very often at Christmas too, and we celebrate the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one had a birth like that, only came correctly through that door of prophecy, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only did his birth exactly fulfill prophecy, but his death fulfilled many Old Testament prophecies as well. A well-known chapter is Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we picture his lonely path. We picture that path of rejection. We picture him coming to the cross and tortured, and he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. No one else went to the cross and bore the sins of mankind. No one else went to the cross and bore your sins and my sins in those 3 hours of darkness. But he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. And we can picture that awful lacerated back that he had to endure, and all the other things he had to endure on the cross as he bore our sin. And his death for us was prophesied, that we might know that he is the one and only true way of salvation. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, and he didn't answer back to those who tortured and tormented him. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked. There on either side of him were those malefactors, were those thieves, those robbers. And for a time they cast the same in his teeth as they mocked him, though one repented. But he was there on the cross with the wicked. And with the rich in his death, Joseph of Arimathea took his body and laid it in his own tomb, in that rich tomb. And here we have prophecies which he exactly fulfilled in his death. We come into the Psalms and we don't always think about David as a prophet, But in the Psalms, there are many prophecies regarding the Messiah. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there we have the cry of our Savior from the cross. Why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 6, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And those round the cross mocked him and cried for him to come down from the cross if he was indeed the Savior. As he was the Savior, he had to remain on the cross. But they mocked him and ridiculed him. The dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And hundreds of years before crucifixion was ever invented, the psalmist told us and God told us how he would die. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And there below the cross, the Roman soldiers gambled for his clothing. And in all these ways and many others, God told us how he would come, how he would be born, how he would live, and how he would die. And only one came through that door of prophecy to be recognized as the true Savior and the true shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The true sheep know his voice. And when you are saved and redeemed and of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you begin to hear his voice. And as God's word is proclaimed and as teachings go forth, you will hear if it is true or whether it does not accord with God's word. And sometimes you're listening to a message and you think, now that's just not right. That's not what the Bible says, or that is not the voice of the Savior. And the true sheep recognize his voice and what he says and what he teaches. The verse also tells us that he knows our names. Now, if Keir Starmer, our great Prime Minister, came in, he wouldn't know any of our names. If King Charles came in, whose subjects we are, he wouldn't know any of our names. But if the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in through that door today, he would know each one of us. He would know us perfectly, and he would know us in love. He'd know our names. He'd know all about us. In spite of what he knows about us, he loves us anyway. He has brought us here today to maximize the chance of our salvation. Sometimes we think that things we do are just by pure blind chance, and maybe we think we're just here by pure blind chance today. But the Lord has so engineered our lives that we would be here under the sound of the gospel today. And he loves us, and he blesses us immeasurably once we are saved. Verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And he will lead us as Savior. He will lead us as our guide. He will lead us as our example. And he will lead us in the best way for us through life. He will lead us into green pastures and beside still waters. Sometimes we sing, when the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Sometimes I say, does it always have to be so rough and steep? And sometimes it is. But he will also lead us in green pastures and beside still waters. And he will show us the best path for us. Sometimes we're good at wandering astray. Just as well he uses the shepherd's crook to bring us back to the path when we wander in ways that wouldn't be so good for us, but he will lead us in the correct path. And the indwelling Holy Spirit will direct us to follow him in the way that is best for us. And once we are saved, we will have a new desire to go where he leads. Maybe that wasn't our desire before, but he will give us a desire to go where he leads. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. He will give us a desire to avoid the dangers of this life. And there's lots of dangers in this life, and there's lots of dangers in wrong living in this life, but he will give us a desire to follow him in the correct path, in the best way for us, so that we will avoid danger. And then in verses 7 to 9, we come down to the second door where Jesus says, I am the door of salvation, the door that leads to God, the door through which we can have eternal life. And again, that door is a person, not a creed, not a habit, not a routine, not good works, not any other way. Though a Christian life is important, the door by which we are saved is a person. And so a relationship with him is important. Our God isn't a God who is far away in a heaven beyond the furthest reaches of this universe, millions of light years away. Our God is a God who wants to be present in our everyday lives, who wants to be close with us every day and every hour, and who wants to have a relationship with his people and a relationship with each one of us. And so we must come to him and enter as members of his family. And if we are saved, we will be brought in to the family of God, so that when we do reach the pearly gates, we will have a place at home in heaven. Now, if we pitch up at Balmoral Castle and knock on the door when King Charles is there, we're not going to get in. If Prince William comes up to Balmoral Castle when King Charles is there and knocks on the door, he'll be welcomed in as his son and as a member of his family. If we arrive at the pearly gates and we're not a member of that family and don't have Christ as Savior, we won't be welcomed in, and we will have to go to the other place. But if we're a member of his family, and if we arrive hand in hand with the Savior and knock, we will have admission, for we will have a place there. The door is a person. D-O-O-R. The door is dividing. Many different types of people in this world, but when God looks down, he just sees two types of people, saved or unsaved. Are we a believer or are we a non-believer? Are we in God's family or out of God's family? Are we in God's ark of salvation, having come in through the door, or not? And the door divides those who are saved and unsaved, and those who are in God's family and those who are out. Oh, the door is open, and it's open today at the end of May 2026. There's been opportunity for 2,000 years, and God in his mercy has extended the day of salvation even to the present day so that more can enter in for salvation. And there's opportunity today to come to the Savior for salvation. We don't know how long the opportunity will last. We look around this darkening world and we see so many signs that must happen in tribulation and that must happen in the lead up to Armageddon when God will judge the people of this world. How much nearer, how close must be the coming of the Savior for his own? For he will come at the time of the rapture and snatch his own away to glory before God pours out his judgment upon this world. And if we see the signs of judgment out across this world, we know that his coming for us must be soon. Might even be today. Who knows, this may be the last time the gospel is preached. Who knows, this may be the last opportunity we have. And we have opportunity to come through the open door today. Another O, only, we've mentioned that. He is the only way. There's no other way and no other route and no other method by which we can enter into God's presence for all eternity. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. And R, he is our refuge. He is our refuge from coming judgment on earth. He is our refuge from God's judgment on our souls. And only through faith and trust in him and receiving his forgiveness will we know his refuge. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And that is wonderful. But the verse goes on to say, he that believeth not the Son, whether that is by rejecting him or procrastinating or sitting on the fence, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And if we do not come to the Savior to have our sins forgiven, we will pay the price of our sins in a lake of fire for all eternity. One day that door will be closed. One day it will be shut. Corinthians tells us now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. Hosea says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We must seek the Savior while we have the opportunity, and that opportunity is now. We do not know when that door may close. We do not know when God's opportunity of salvation will be withdrawn. Now, I thought my quote from Hosea was wrong. It is time to seek the Lord. That's what I was thinking of. It is time to seek the Lord. I knew there was a ringing bell at the back of my mind saying, that's not right. It is time to seek the Lord. And it's time to seek the Lord on this last day of May 2026 before the door is closed. And the door may be scratched. I remember when I was a kid, we had a country and western, Christian country and western tape played in the car a lot. And one of the songs was about Noah's flood. God looked down upon this world many years ago. He saw the awful sin of man about to overflow. Only Noah was righteous. Only Noah walked with God. Only Noah believed him when he said there'd be a flood. God told Noah to build an ark, build it big and wide, round up all the animals and store them all inside. Then come in with all your folk and I will close the door. And in the morning, this world will be no more. Are you in the ark or are you outside? For 40 days and 40 nights, the rain came tumbling down. Only those inside the ark were warm and safe and sound. Those who'd stayed outside, now they weren't laughing anymore. Rain and tears were mingled as they scratched upon the door. But the door was closed to them. And there will be desperation for those lost. There will be desperation for those who miss the opportunity. There will be desperation for those who are too late. And they may scratch upon the door, it will be too late. And there is a heart's door. And Jesus is knocking on your heart's door today. Is your heart's door open or closed to him? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open their heart's door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me, Revelation tells us. is your heart's door open to the Saviour this morning. And briefly, we'll mention the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the perfect one. He is the flawless one. He is the one who died for you out of infinite love. Will you come to the Good Shepherd and follow him and accept him and be saved? Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Will you come to this one who supplies your every need? We've spoken about the still waters and the green pastures and his care for us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even in the valley of the shadow, the Savior, the Shepherd, will be with us, walking close by, walking hand in hand, and guiding us through and carrying us through. And there are those on their deathbed who have reached out with a beaming smile on their face and have seen someone perhaps those in the room didn't see, an angel perhaps, or the Good Shepherd perhaps, coming to take them home. He is there even in the valley of the shadow. And through that door, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am the door, says the Lord Jesus. I am the Good Shepherd, he says to us. Will you come to him this day? Will you come to him this hour and be saved for time and for eternity? Now, we have a final hymn to sing, and it is Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
I hold my shepherd will defend.
thank thee, our Father, as we close, for thy great provision for us. We thank thee that thou art not a God who is far away, but thou hast determined to draw close to us. We thank thee that in spite of what thou didst know about us, thou didst love us, and thou didst love us so much that thou didst send the Saviour. And we praise thee this morning that he is the door of salvation, and that that door is open yet. We pray, our Father, that if there be any know him not, but that this may be the moment when they come to him for salvation and enter in through that door of salvation into the sheepfold. We pray that they may come to know him as the good shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd of their souls, the one who will lead them safely home, and that they, forgiven, will have a place forever in thy presence. We pray that wherever this gospel message goes forth this day, we pray that there may be souls coming to thy Son for salvation. We pray that thou wouldst bless us as shortly we would partake of the provision, and we thank thee for that provision. We pray that thou wouldst bless us through the rest of this day and through a new month as we would enter into it. And now may the love of the Father and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.